Okay, so your new album, Follow the Freedom, you're doing your tour right now. You've worked with Steve Perry on this album. I mean, how has this all come together for you? Are you still kind of like looking at it like, wow, I can't believe I just did this?
Yeah, I mean, I got lucky. I had an opportunity to make this album. I was approached by a private investor, and he was interested in specifically not really working in the music business necessarily, but specifically working with me, which was, a miracle. I mean, anybody that knows about trying to get any type of an investor for anything, but much less, the music business. So I got really lucky. So that started out as the miraculous thing, and then I went and moved to California and put a team of people together to make this album, and really decided that I wanted to produce it myself, and I wanted to put the people together, and I wanted to write it, and I just really wanted it to be a reflection of my life, where I was at that time, and really just put something out that was going to be mine and not like compromise and not be part of a label system and just do it on my own. So it was exciting, and then when the album was finished, it was actually when Steve came on board. He heard it during the mixing process and was sort of hanging out in the building and heard it, and then wanted to meet me, and we ended up hanging out together, and he really liked the songs. He was helping us mix, and he came up with a backing vocal on Follow the Freedom, and then we ended up singing together. So it was like, at the end of this process, like the most miraculous part of it sort of took place. Like we sort of got this like this blessing from, a legend and certainly somebody that I always listened to growing up. My mom and dad were big fans of us. We had their albums in the house, and when I met him the first time, I told him, I said, "You taught me how to sing." And he said, "I did. Well, no wonder you sound so good." And immediately disarmed me, and was just super funny and nice and kind, and we ended up spending about a week together in the studio, and then he came to a show of mine and was like in the back of the room singing all the words like a proud papa. It just was like somebody needed to pinch me. It was incredible.
So you mentioned before you wanted the album to kind of be a reflection of where you were. Where were you then, and where are you now? What's the difference?
Well, gosh, there's a big difference, and I think if you even could see photographs of me too, you would see it with the before and after. But I was in a band for a really long time that where I learned everything, where I learned how to do everything. And I was very young when I joined, and I spent 8 years in that band, and by the time that I left, I was slightly disenchanted. I was disenchanted with the music business. I was disenchanted with, all of it. And I really just didn't know if I wanted to do it anymore. I just felt a little beat up by it, to be totally honest. And it was sad because really from the minute I could talk, I wanted to sing, and I knew I wanted to be a singer. And so to sort of have that desire taken or to have it disappear really left me feeling devastated. And so I spent a couple of years, I took a long hiatus, tried to find myself again, and I did some writing for online magazines, a little bit of like what you do for a living. I started doing that. I was freelance writing, and I was even editing a magazine for a little while, and then I did some acting, and slowly but surely I started writing songs again. And I think that the most important thing that I wanted to convey when I made this album was the positivity that I was starting to feel again, and feeling happy again, and feeling strong again, and feeling like things were possible again, and just sort of coming out of a dark place, and feeling like I just wanted some uplifting, happy music, because it's how I felt after that whole period of sort of self-discovery. So I think that it was important that I convey that. And so the music was the first song was called Follow Freedom, and we named the album that, and I think that everything sort of followed suit. It ended up being like a happy record about somebody who took the time off that she needed to sort of soul search and to like, make peace with all the things that had sort of happened in her past, and now, this is a new chapter, And I think that that's what was exciting, that there was really nobody standing over me saying, yes, but is it a hit song? Is there a hit song on the album? It's like, it didn't matter. I was just going to do what I wanted to do, and I was going to say what I needed to say, and just really just trust that the rest of it would follow.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Even the Mistakes. I mean, that's a song for me. I mean, it's one of my favorite on the album. Can you just talk about the creative process behind it? Is there a moment that, you know, where it was written? How did it all come together?
Definitely. I wrote that song with Dove Rosenblatt, who actually lives in Los Angeles now, but the two of us were living in New York at the time, and it was right before I moved to L.A. He and I had a little studio in my apartment, and the two of us just got together, and he had this guitar progression, and he had sort of played it into my computer, and we'd written a couple of songs before that I really loved, and we had a really good sort of rapport. But one day, right before he left, he's like, oh, I have this sort of riff that I, you know, this little guitar progression. I'm like, oh, I love that. Why don't you play that on my computer? So he played it into his computer, and then he went, and he ended up moving to California, and we didn't even see each other after that, and I didn't see him for months, and I just found this little guitar riff in my computer probably like 2 months later. I'm like, I'm going to write something to that. And I did. I wrote Even the Mistakes to that guitar progression, and it was funny because I ended up moving out to California and Dove was out there, and when I played it for him, I said, do you remember this? He didn't even remember giving me that music. But I said, we wrote this together. He's like, you're kidding. I'm like, no, I said, you gave me the music progression and I wrote this song over it. So I just love that progression. I always sort of loved it and it always stuck with me. And the whole song was sort of finished and we had everything. We literally had like, we had the verse, we made like a chorus, we made a bridge. We never really wrote too many melodies over it or anything. We just had this like perfectly sort of formed song with all the different sections. And, I just went and wrote a song and, you know, Even the Mistakes was, you know, a lot of these songs, like even the messages in any of them, they were really to me, it was sort of like me to myself. You know, and Even the Mistakes especially was literally just about giving myself like permission to not be perfect and to not have to be amazing and not to have to please everyone, to be able to make music that I loved, whether or not it was a hit song and whether or not, you know, everybody on the planet wanted to get the album and whether or not I was going to be famous or rich or, you know, all those things that sort of motivate you, I think, when you're a kid, you know, suddenly those things didn't seem as important to me. Really, the only thing that was important was sort of maintaining and recommitting to this promise that I had made to myself when I was a kid to do music for a living. And so I think some of what freed me was being able to say, you know what, even the things that aren't perfect, even the screw-ups, even the mistakes, even the things that you're going to look back on and go, gosh, I wish I had done that differently, or I wish that sounded a little different, or giving yourself permission to just put it out there. It's never going to be perfect, and knowing that that's actually okay. And so that song's super important. I actually love that song, too. I'm glad that you like it.
Your voice is incredibly unique. I mean, I know singers hate, you know, being compared to other people or saying, oh, you're a little bit of this or a little bit of that. But, I mean, I felt like there was, like, some happy, like, Sheryl Crow with, like, some Natalie Merchant and some Natasha Bedingfield. I mean,
I love it.
Who
I
do
love
you...
it.
Who do you, who influences you? Like, if you could hear any other person's voice when you sing, whose would it be?
It's a tough one, but I listen to, I mean, look, it is absolutely true. I listen to a lot of Steve Perry. I listen to a lot of Pat Benatar. I listen to Ricky Lee Jones. I love singing, you know, I love singing jazz music. I sang a lot of jazz music when I lived in Europe. That's how I sort of earned my living, singing jazz. So I think there's a lot of like Ella Fitzgerald and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of that sort of those jazzy sort of notes and that way of sort of delivering certain lines. And it's a combination. You know, it's a combination of a lot of singers. I was a big Eddie Vedder fan. You know, I think that some of that comes out. You can hear that if you're really listening for it, you know. Mm-hmm. I love, there's a lot of singers, really, that are out even now that I think are sort of influenced by the same things. But I listen to a lot of R&B. I love Gladys Knight, you know. I love Stevie Wonder. And so I think I love Lauryn Hill. You know, I love the rap, sort of mixed with like the melodic choruses, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's probably just a real mix of that like urban music that's like influenced by jazz and by gospel, and then that real sort of pop rock, arena rock that I grew up listening to, you know, coming from New Jersey.
Okay. So now that we know some music that you love, that you like, can you give us a couple of songs on your iPod that you love but you're ashamed of?
That I'm ashamed of?
Kind of like guilty pleasure songs. Those songs that you're like, oh, I don't want to tell anybody that I like this, but I really do.
Oh my God. Well, I love the song, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me, for this Pussycat Dolls. I just think it's the greatest song ever. I just think it's so great. And I just know that it's like, I really have no business listening to that music, but I just think it's the greatest thing ever. And I would say, let's just think for a minute. I would say, I love The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's like, I blast that song and I know every single word and nuance, and I could literally like hum the entire fiddle solo in the middle.
Very nice.
Yeah. Those are my two.
I wouldn't peg you for like a Charlie Daniels type of gal, but that's great.
I know. I'm telling you, man, I got a lot of secrets.
So what are your real like your real goals for this album? You just finished a nice a week long East Coast tour. I mean, you said you're going to be touring later in the summer. What are your real goals for this album?
The goal is to be on radio. That's the goal. I mean, it's the only goal. It's the one that I'm the most focused on. We've just been added to 25 radio stations across the country. We've been going for ads for about 3 weeks now, which is really, really great. We've just been approached by a top 40 promoter who also wants to work the song. The single is Blind Spot, and it's doing really, really well. The one thing that I wasn't able to achieve in my former band is that kind of exposure and that kind of reach. And I think that exposure and the reach that radio gives you, you know, really can change the course of an artist's career. Because at the end of the day, the only way that you can sort of, you know, be effective, whether you have a message that you want to convey or whether you have a desire to touch people in a positive way, the only way that you can really do it is to actually be heard by them. So, you know, radio is still the greatest way to sort of reach people. The internet is fabulous as well, but I still see radio as being, you know, the main option. So the focus this summer is definitely hitting radio hard. And just really trying to get as many ads as we possibly can, playing a lot more on the West Coast to try to build up our fan base over there, because that was someplace that was sort of neglected in my last band. And doing some television, doing some late night television, and really just trying to promote the album, release a few more singles, and I'm going to keep recording. I've got, you know, 25 unrecorded songs right now that I just built a studio in my house, and we're going to record, so that's exciting too.
Okay, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, let's just say you're in a Best Buy or something like that, and your CD's there, and someone kind of picks it up, and they're like, Follow the Freedom, Bohem, And you could tell by the look in their eyes that they're kind of on the fence. They're like, should I pick this up? And you had the power to just walk over to them and sell it to them and give them a pitch. What would you say?
I'd say there's something in there for you. You have to go in there and find it.
Very nice. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. And it is, too. It really is, I promise. If you listen, if you really listen, there's something in there for you. There is.
Is there anything else that you want to say about what's going on right now? Anything new coming up that our listeners would like to know about?
Well, the big thing right now is that the new Blind Spot video is about to be released. And at my Facebook, which is Bohem Artist, facebook.com / Bohem Artist, is we're trying to get 1,000 likes on that page. And once we hit 1,000, we're going to unlock the video. And we're getting very close. We only need 100 more. So if people could go like that page, that would be awesome. And Twitter, follow me on Twitter, which is I Am Bohem.